Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be talking about revival. What's revival? I told you before, revival is the manifested presence of God visiting his people. It's an outpouring of God's glory. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit manifested where you could tangibly, what you said, you tangibly felt God's presence. You were undone in his presence. There's no doubt. When God's presence is there, there's no doubt about it. Like you can see me, I'm trembling. This is not my normal stance. This is because the glory's on me and I can barely stand, okay? This has been happening for the last few months, but has enormously increased in the last couple of weeks. This week, exponentially. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Once you experience the glory like this, you're ruined for ordinary church. You're ruined. I'm telling you, we experienced this, we encountered this years ago in the renewal that was going on. We had it at Toronto, the Toronto Blessing, Pensacola. Well, we had it in our church too. And we were on the prayer team and we ministered for years, day and night, in the glory. 7 days, many times it was 7 days and seven nights. We did it for years. Powerful. Then when the glory lifts off, you're left with church. Come in, sit down, listen to the sermon, leave. No miracles to really speak of. And it's boring. Boring. So I got ruined. And I've been running after revival since. Just hungry for it. I know it. I've encountered it. I've experienced revival. I know when there's the tangible presence of God. And I want it. I don't want anything manufactured, anything fake. I just want the glory. I want his presence. What I'm going to just share with you what happened this week and then give a little bit of an explanation about revival. But this week, we went Tuesday night to Hastings. And Pastor Jack and Ray and myself went, and they gave us, I think, eight or nine boys. The glory fell on those kids. Oh, my goodness. One of the boys raised his hand. Now, this is what happens in revival, okay? What revival is revival comes to the church. The Holy Spirit comes to revive the church, bring it back to life, fill it with power the way it was intended to be back 2,000 years ago. This is what revival does. The presence of God is tangible. You feel it. It's tangible. And the presence of God comes, does miracles, and changes lives, transforms people. We heard what Donna was talking about, a life-transforming touch from God. This is what's happening at Hastings. So one of the boys raises his hand. We go to a detention facility every week and minister there. Boys are 13 to 18 years old. And he raises his hand. And now this boy has been coming to the ice cream socials, but has not come on a Tuesday night before. And he was one of the kids that sat there. Don't touch me. When we go around to pray over the kids, he didn't want you to pray over them. He was just there for the ice cream. And that was it. Wanted nothing to do with God. And he was tough. So he raised his hand. I was surprised to see him there. I said, yes. And he said, I just want to say something. He said, and he's kind of a quiet kid. He said, when I was a kid, I was raised in the church. But then I left God. I left the church. And I became a very angry at God. And I was a very angry person. And when they brought me in here, I was so angry, I stabbed the kids. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, this kid was tough. I don't know what he stabbed him with, probably pencils or whatever he could get his hands on, because they have nothing to stab people with, but he said he stabbed people. Oh, oh. And he said, I don't know what happened. He said, but I don't get mad anymore. He said, I'm not talking about the rages. He said, the things that made me angry don't even make me angry anymore. He said, what happened? And he said, now I'm back with God. I told him, I said, God delivered you. You had an evil spirit of rage and anger and violence, and God set you free of it. That's one. One. So that we prayed over, we had our ministry, I preached about giving God 100%, like we did last Sunday at church, about Job, and the boys all consecrated themselves, every one of them, to giving God 100%. And then we prayed over them, and the staff didn't come and get them. They forgot us, which never has happened. In 8 years going there, it's never happened. And so I said, let's stand and worship. We have extra time. So we stood and worshiped. Oh, ooh, kasata. And I look, I open my eyes, and I look, and here's Ray. We sit in a horseshoe, you know, with chairs around a table, a horseshoe. I'm at the front. Here's Ray over here, worshiping God like this, his arms up in the air. Now here's the boys all sitting on this side, facing Ray, and across this way, and over here. And I look, and the boys look at Ray, and they're like this. All the boys just worshiping. Eyes closed, arms up, straight up, worshiping God for a couple of songs until the staff came in and got them. And one of the boys, as he was leaving, came up. You could see the glory on their faces. They were transformed with the glory. And he came up to me and he said, every time you come, I feel so good. I feel so good. I said, that's the glory of God on you. You could see it on his face. He said, I feel so good. I said, you can feel like this in your room. Read your Bible, spend time with God, and God's glory will come and rest upon you. That was Tuesday. I left there. We left there, huh? Undone. Well, all the way home, we're like, oh, my goodness, in the car. Right now, oh my goodness, what God just did there. Oh my goodness. That's just with each kid there's something. So then Thursday. I told you last week I went to an advisory board meeting for a house that I'm on the, not an advisory board. What do you call it? Board of directors meeting. I'm on the board for a group home that we're starting for women that have been caught in sexual trafficking, 18 and up, to rescue them, okay? So I had gone to a meeting there, and it was just a long meeting, but reading forms and stuff and signing your name to it and whatnot. It was our first meeting. And then afterwards, we prayed. And when I went to pray for some people, the glory of God fell there. That was a week ago, Thursday. And one of the women, since then I've heard, as I was praying for her, I saw, she had lost her husband 4 years ago, and she was under a terrible, severe depression and grief. She was suffering awful. And when I put my hand on her, I just saw this thing on her head, just, ooh, like that. And I just said, in the name of Jesus, go. God set her free. And instantly, that thing just left. And she's doing wonderful. The report back was that she doesn't have that depression on her anymore. She's thinking different, feeling different. She got set free. This is in someone's house. So now this Thursday, this pastor that's heading this group invited me to come over. She was having a Bible study at her house. And she said, do you think you would mind coming and teaching at our Bible study about giving God 100%? And I said, oh, yeah, sure, I'll come. Thursday night at 6 o'clock. I said, yeah, I'll be happy to come. Oh! So getting ready for it, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me that I needed to bring music, you know, that we could sing a little bit before the teaching. And so I asked her, she said, oh, no problem, bring some music. We don't usually do that, but that's fine. I said, okay. So she just did a little bit of the meeting part. And so I got up, I turned the music on, which is going to be one of the songs we're singing. Open Up the Sky was the first song. And when that song played, boom, the glory just fell in the room for hours. For hours, we were in the glory. There's only four of us. There, God showed up. Josh, like this. Instantly, the head pastor, Donna, she started weeping and crying under the glory. There's usually a manifestation. You'll feel incredible peace, or she didn't feel sorrow. It was just the presence of God caused her to weep in his presence. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you laugh hysterically. Another one was on her knees, into the glory. Another one, she kept prophesying and prophesying. It was so incredibly powerful. And I saw, as I was prophesying and praying for the women during this couple of hours that went on in the glory, I saw rain coming down. And this rain wasn't just staying in the room. It was going off. It to the family and out of the house. I just saw rain, but it's not in here. It's not contained in here. It's going off. So a little while went by. We continued prophesying, praying. We just couldn't, the glory just didn't lift. So her phone rang. She went and answered her phone, and she came back crying. And she said, my son, who's married, and he's living with his in-laws, and they have a little child, and the house they're living in, the people smoke, and it's just a bad situation. And she said, I've been praying for God to get them their own apartment, but his credit is so bad that he could not get an apartment. He called, and this is like 9:30 at night. He calls and he says, Ma, you're not going to believe what just happened. He had gone looking at an apartment a day or two before. The people that owned the apartment called and said, you've got it. You've got it. She's crying. And I knew it was what I saw. I knew when I saw that rain, it was the Holy Spirit saying, I'm not just going to take care of you. I'm going to go after your son. This is for you. I'm going to go after your son because my glory is going to touch you. And that's exactly what happened with her. Okay, so grab that. That's a prophetic word for you. He says, I'm not just taking care of you. I'm going after your son. And that's what happened. How many of us have sons and daughters and family members that they need a touch from God? And what is God saying? I'm not just going after you. My glory isn't just to be contained here. It's for them too. She cried. She said, I have been praying for so long for this. We didn't pray for that. Sitting around that table with the glory. God knew what she wanted, and he went and did it. We weren't crying out. I didn't even know that she had a son or had that issue. I didn't know her. God just did it. Is our God awesome? Is our God wonderful? Over and above what we could think or imagine is what is going on in this hour. This was just this week this happened. To watch, to hear the reports of these miracles, and to see life changing things happen. I'm just going to give us a few points on revival. When you have a true revival, we've had renewals, the Toronto blessing, the Pensacola blessing, different things like that, where the Holy Spirit was poured out. But a true revival, this is what happens. Number one, repentance comes to the church. People just begin to repent. The Holy Spirit brings conviction, but in a gentle, gentle way. But all of a sudden, you just realize, oh, I was unkind to my husband. I was unkind to my wife. That's not nice. Oh, God, I'm sorry. We don't make excuses for these things. And God just very gently brings repentance to the church in his mercy and in his grace. Because if we don't repent, what happens? The enemy's got authority. He's got the right. He's got the right to come in and do what? Steal, kill, and destroy in our lives. Steal our job. Okay? We gave him the right. We gave him the key to our life. We gave him the right. Okay? Oh. So repentance comes to the church. The Holy Spirit will do this in a gentle way. The fear of the Lord hits so that in such a gentle way that he makes it easy for us not just to repent for those sins, but to give them up. Just to easily give up the sins. Be set free. Okay? How many of you would say, I've experienced this lately, where I've gotten before God, repented for something, and it's just gone? It's just gone. Huh? Yeah, you give a testimony about it. That's when you know revival has come. These are the characteristics where you can say, okay, this is revival. This is what's happening. Then number two, there's a great harvest of souls that happens. And we're seeing that at Hastings. Not only are the kids saved and on fire, the staff are saved and on fire too. The staff just come in the room while we're doing this and they get saved. I've had a staff interrupt me while I was preaching. Do you mean to say that if I don't believe in Jesus, when I die, I'll go to hell? I said, yes, that's exactly right. Oh. So the kids started singing a song, and the Holy Spirit told me to go over and see him. So I went up to him, and I said, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah. I said, have you ever confessed your sin and given him your life? No, I haven't. Do you want to be sure that when you die, you'll go to heaven? Yes, I do. You want to do it right now? Yes, I do. Right there. While we're doing a Tuesday night service, the staff gets saved. That's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. That's when you're in revival, you're going to see this is what happens. Number one, repentance. Number two, a great harvest of souls. Easy to lead people to the Lord. How many of you are noticing it's easy to share the gospel and get people saved than it was months ago? Because we're beginning to see it. We're beginning to see it happen. It's so easy. With the boy last week that raised his hand and said that his grandfather had stage 4 lung cancer, and he was so mad at God, he left God, would have nothing to do with God. He's in the facility, talks to the counselor about it, and the counselor tells him, don't give up on God. Keep praying. He did. And guess what? But his grandfather, who was his father, taking care of him, raised him, only person he had in his life, had 5 treatments, and after the 5th one, they did a PET scan. No cancer, no tumors. And he was there, praising God, saying, I believe. This was at the Ice Cream Social. He gave this testimony last Saturday. He said, I believe in God now. I know God did a miracle. I know he did it for me because he loved me. That's revival. You see? We're entering into an awesome, awesome time. I'm telling you, I know without a doubt we've got revival. I've been watching the revival meetings that are going on, the Fire and Glory outpouring in San Diego, California. I've been watching them on YouTube. If you can live stream them, but it's not on until 10:30 at night, which is a very late night. So instead, I've been going on YouTube and just watching them. And you've got 3.5 hours of a revival meeting going on. And in the glory of God just comes into your house. Because it's catchy. Cool. So I've been doing that. Kind of counts for a little bit of the shaking and the trembling. Cool. And the third thing is that I want to focus on a little bit here is that there a great reformation and a transformation comes to society when we have a revival. We talk about the Welsh revival, okay? Way back when. We have Whitfield and Wesley in the Great Awakening, and how this revival spread throughout Europe and across to the United States and ignited the Azusa Street revival. And what happened was society was transformed by this revival. What is the revival? The great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The manifested glory, the manifested presence of God. Back then, slavery was the rule of the day. And what they did during this time, because of the revival, the people in Parliament got saved, got on fire for God, and the laws, the child labor laws were all turned around. Slavery was abolished. We abolished slavery with the Civil War. They abolished slavery with revival. You see? Society changed. George Mueller started orphanages. as a result of the revival. Society is transformed by revival. We say, well, what good is revival? We shake, we laugh, we go home. No. Oh, the Holy Spirit comes and makes people holy. The Holy Spirit comes and transforms people, heals people, delivers people. Oh! Miracles, miracles, miracles happen when there's a great revival. But to me, the greatest miracle is the transformation of society. Haven't I said this in the past? If we get a great revival, we won't need to worry about abortion laws, because there's going to be no sexual immorality, and people aren't going to want abortions. Do you see that? It will abolish these things. Even this sexual trafficking. Once revival comes and the Spirit of God goes over a region, we don't just have the Holy Spirit come into a church and then it's just there. It goes like I saw it in the rain. And I knew that what God was showing me was it's not being contained here in this little building with this handful of people. We were only four of us Thursday night. That spread out all Palm Coast. And God confirmed it by having the son call and say, right when this was going on, get this phone call, and he was given that apartment. See? It starts with a few who are what? Hungry and thirsty for God. It starts with a handful of people. That's how revival starts. Very seldom do you hear of a big revival breaking out in an enormous church. Generally, it's a few people that are gathered together, seeking God, hungry, and calling on God, and in his grace and in his mercy, he pours his Spirit out. And wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things happen. I'm just going to share a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to worship God. That we talked about King Asa a couple of weeks ago, and he was in a terrible time of warfare, and the Lord showed me we're in that same kind of warfare because the enemy has been relentlessly after a lot of us in different ways, and he gave us keys to how to stop the warfare like Asa did. And we know that first he encouraged himself in the Lord, just like David at Ziklag. He encouraged himself in the Lord. The prophet came and spoke to him. He encouraged himself with the word of God. Then, and so we got to do that, encourage yourself with God. God, you're for me. God, what can man do to me if you're for me? Huh? Far greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He encouraged himself in the Lord, tore down all the idols in the land, to which we need to do. Take down those idols that we have set up in our lives that are more important than God is to us. We all got stuff. It can be problems we have that becomes the thing we're all focused on and thinking about and talking about. Take those idols down, rebuild the altar, which is what he did. He rebuilt the altar, which is the place of intimate fellowship with God. That represents the place of communion with God. He rebuilt the altar. Then he gathered all the people, and they worshiped God with great enthusiasm, wholehearted worship, exuberant worship. Gathered all of Israel before him, and they worshiped and worshiped and worshiped. And it said, after that, until the 35th year of his reign, there was peace. So that was the 15th year. So for 20 years, total peace. No more warfare. And the key was that exuberant worship. What does it do? Brings the glory. Brings the glory. We got to worship God from our heart. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I think it's verse 9. I'll read it. Paul was instructing Timothy in what he wanted him to do, how he wanted worship to go. And he said as part of it in verse 8, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. So there's two things there, huh? To lift up holy hands. Like I said, what happened Tuesday night at Hastings? Lift up holy hands. What? Without anger or disputing. If I have any resentment in my heart to anybody, I forgive them when I come into the house of God right away. God, I forgive this, 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 and that. Somebody could have just cut you off on the road on your way here, and you could be angry with them. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be even a little thing. And you just, without anger or disputing, huh? In unity, in fellowship, come before God. Then, I'm giving us a couple of keys for worship that I feel that God is saying, this is the hour for us to launch forward, because I got so much for you that I don't want anything to hinder you from receiving what I have for you. Okay? And lukewarmness can hinder God from moving. The spirit of lukewarmness. We see that with the Laodicean church. He said, I want you to be hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. God does not like it when we're lukewarm. And that will not, if we're lukewarm, I'm going to church because it's Sunday and I'm supposed to do this. And go in there and then leave. That's lukewarmness. That doesn't bring the presence of God, the glory of God. What does? Hunger. Holy hunger. God, I want more of you. What did you do? You sought after God. You fasted. You did everything you could. And what happened? He showed up. You preached my sermon, you do know, huh? Now, this is what it says in Matthew 10. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. And I just think that goes along with what happened Tuesday night at Hastings, because I'm there every week worshiping God. But these boys are seeing a girl do it, a woman do it. Tuesday night, they watched a man, and it set them free. And those boys, even there was a brand new kid, new in the facility, never been to an ice cream social or a Tuesday night, that was there. And he was watching them, and he's watching Ray, and after a little bit, he did this. Cool? God says, don't be ashamed to worship me. Don't be ashamed to go out and proclaim what I'm doing for you. Like, you had to get up and bear your heart to us. Look what it did. Huh? God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you for that. He says, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. Then I'm going to skip over. And Jesus is talking in chapter 11 about John the Baptist. And he said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. So what's he saying here? We can't be wishy-washy. We can't be lukewarm. We got to be forceful. We've got to have a violent, another version of the Bible says, violent men take hold of it. Not violent like going beating people up, but violent like a violent faith. I will not be denied my blessing. You had violent faith. I'm fasting. I'm seeking God. I'm sitting with them. I'm spending time. I'm not letting go, God, until you bless me. Jacob, wrestling with God all night. I will not let go until you bless me, God. And did he get blessed? Yes, he got blessed. Whoa. This is what God wants now in this hour. God, I'm not letting go until you heal me, until you heal my nation, until you bless my family, until you save my sons and my daughters. I'm not letting go, God. What about the woman with the issue of blood? She sees Jesus come into town, and there's multitudes around him, pressing in, all of them close. And Jesus, and she says, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she crawls on her hands and knees, pushes through the crowd. She was determined. The kingdom of God forcefully advances, and violent men lay hold of it. And she grabbed a hold of it, and Jesus stopped. He said, wait a minute. He said, who touched me? Peter's like, Jesus. There's thousands of people around, and everybody's pushing at you. What do you mean, who touched you? He said, I felt virtue leave me. Somebody touched me. And the woman thought she was in trouble. She's trembling. It was me, Jesus. He said, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Her faith, her absolute determination to get a hold of that healing, huh? That's what we got to have in this hour. What do you need? What do you need? I got to tell you, one of the things that I'm seeing happen, I'm seeing physical healings. I've told you some reports about deliverance with the boys and whatnot. But I'm also seeing a lot of monetary miracles. I'll give you an example, because some of us need finances, and I feel like God wants us to know that this is the hour where he even wants to bless us financially. Because we're the head, not the tail. And he doesn't want us to go around in lack. He wants us to have sufficient. Now, you just gave a testimony about finances. God did that for you in a day, in a day. Pastor Donna, who's trying to get this group home up and going, needs money for the ministry. She called me up late one night. She said, I can't wait till tomorrow to tell you this. I said, what? She said, back when the BP oil spill happened, her church was in that area where there was the oil spill. And so there was a class action suit that went forth to sue BP for the damages. And she was allotted $2,800 she was supposed to get. But they keep stalling and stalling and stalling. And so she said she got an email or a letter, whatever, that told her that they had settled this thing and they were going to be sending her a check for $5,600, exactly double what she was supposed to have been awarded. And I've been telling her, we're in the year of Jubilee. Expect double. God doubles it. Is that cool? That happened this week too. It has been a number of financial breakthroughs that people have experienced. And I was watching the revival last night, and that's what the thrust of it was. He was talking about how the gentleman conducting the revival service, Joshua, how he was very lacking in money at this time in his life, and somebody needed some change to get some soda at church, and he goes in his pocket, and he's thinking, I don't even have 2 cents. He had no money on him. And so he goes in his pocket, and he feels paper. And he said, paper? Paper money? Maybe thought it was a dollar. He pulls it out. It's a $100 bill. And he knew, and he went out to preach about this, that God had given him that hundred, because, you know, he's a heavy guy. If somebody stuck their hand in and gave him a $100 bill, he would have felt the hand going in his pocket. He went on to show how people give people money in the church, but they couldn't have done that. God had sovereignly, he didn't have a $100 bill, he never had a $100 bill, and he knew it wasn't his. God had given it to him. And he had preached on this in New Zealand, and when he did, I want you guys to let your faith arise. When he did, he said, some of you are going to get unexpected finances are going to be in your bank accounts. So the people that are at the service go home. This woman checks her bank account. $45,000-something, whatever their money is, but it was $35,000 in American money, was deposited in her account. And so she called him up, and she called the bank. It was deposited. She didn't know where it came from. She was not expecting it. She had no clue how this money got in there. Her friend, the same day, checks her bank account. When she hears her friend had got this, checks her bank account. She had the amount of $25,000 deposited in her account. No clue where it came from. No clue. Huh? And so somebody, he was preaching on this, and somebody in the congregation stood up and said, listen, God doesn't counterfeit money. Are you saying God counterfeits money? The guy was giving him a really hard time. And he said, all of a sudden, it just rose up in him. And he said, it says in Scripture that God will take the wealth of the unjust and give it to the just. And he will take the money that's in the trunk of a drug dealer's car, and he will transfer it into the accounts of his children. And that's what our God will do. If he can transport Philip in Scripture, huh, in the Acts of the Apostles, take him and transport him to another place miles away, can he take a little piece of paper and put it in your pocket or put it in your bank account? Huh? Can he cancel our debts? Yeah. Look what he did for you guys. He gets your truck paid for. He gets your... There are fake 20s. So be careful for counterfeit. But so we're going to expect. Huh? So here at this meeting, people are, all of a sudden, a lady runs up. She said, I had no money. And I looked in my billfold. There's a $20 bill there. Another woman runs up and says, I had $20. I looked in. I have 40 now. This was this week. This just was at the revival. So it stirred in me because I'm seeing a lot of financial blessings happen in the midst of this revival that's happening. I'm seeing marriages and families being restored. I'm seeing health being restored, but also finances too. Our God is an awesome God. There isn't any need we have that he won't supply according to his riches and glory. The more incredible and awesome it is, the more glory he gets for it. The more we'll honor him and praise him. Now let's all stand and we're going to worship him, huh? With a violent faith, with enthusiasm, huh? And let him know, God, you are my God. You are awesome.